this Sunday there are just too many things on the liturgical calendar. According to many traditions, today is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, who's the patron saint of animals, merchants, and ecology, which is somebody that we would like to pay attention to here in the Garden Church. This is the saint that you often see portrayed with the animals coming up to him, the birds perching on his shoulders and his head. And this is the saint that reminds us, often we have them in the garden. I realized this morning that we don't have a St. Francis in our garden yet, but I think we need one. St. Francis is in many gardens, reminding us of this connection between faith and the natural world. St. Francis is also the saint that the current pope took his name from, and this pope, among many things, has been proclaiming ideas around ecology, but also around the humanity of all people. Today is also World Communion Day, a day where many Christian denominations across the world recognize that we are all part of one big church, that we're all part of the same human family, and that as the bread is broken and tasted and the cup is drank, that we remember that we are all part of something bigger than ourselves. And that regardless of our different perspectives and ideas, that we can come together around one table across the world and share in this meal together. So we've got St. Francis Day, World Communion Day, and then the lectionary texts don't really help us out with either of those. They give us the passage that all preachers try to avoid. The passages that deal with gender, divorce, and God and the Bible. So it really would have been quite, and then we have another horrible shooting this week. Another 9 people that died in Roseburg, Oregon. Another community that has been ripped apart by gun violence. And a culture overall, our country as a whole, that is wrestling with how to even talk about this. How do we even talk with our loved ones about gun violence when we all have such differing ideas and perspectives? So really, this would have been a really good Sunday to just skip out on, or if it had rained, or been out of town, but here I am, and here you are, and so we'll wrestle together. But last Sunday, I wasn't here with you. I didn't get out of these texts, but I missed you all. I was out in Colorado. Twice a year, I have required treatment for a severe case of Lyme disease that I had 8 years ago. So it's my twice yearly trip, which is never really that much fun, but necessary for health. And I spent most of the time in treatment and then on the couch recovering. Now, by last Sunday, it was the first day after a week of treatment and couch and treatment and couch that I felt like I might be able to get off the couch, and I was getting very stir crazy. I didn't feel I have the emotional or social energy to go to my former congregation there because there are lots of people there that love me and I love them, and I'd have to, you know, catch up and talk to them. I didn't have energy for that, but I thought I need to get out of the house. So I borrowed a friend's car and I drove up to this little mountain town that's just 15 minutes away. And I went and sat in the coffee shop, and I thought, well, this is what it's like for a lot of the country. This is what they do on a Sunday. You go to the coffee shop and you go to hiking in the mountains, right? And so I was sitting there and quite enjoying this cute little coffee shop, but I kept feeling this draw to this white clapboard church across the street with these big honey-colored oak doors. It was kind of the same kind of draw that had drawn me up into the mountains to look for where the aspen trees that morning. And you can all shake your heads at me. Yes, the one Sunday I didn't have to go to church, I went to church. But I waited right until 11 o'clock when it was starting so that I could just slip right in and, you know, get rid of, have minimal chit-chat. I was greeted by a well-dressed woman who handed me a bulletin, and I might be projecting, but I think looked at me a little disapprovingly because I had on my very comfy, it's Sunday and I'm going to the mountains by myself, ripped jeans, a black tank top, and I had my cup of chai from the coffee shop, which was definitely going to be walking into their sanctuary, even though they had nice carpet, because I wasn't going to put that down even if I was going to church. So I found the space what you might expect from a small local church. Nice pews, half full, mostly over 60. Nice perky school teacher making us all get up and put through the hand motions for he's got the whole world in his hands. And I played along. I'm a good, you know, a good church participant. Then the guest minister for the day got up and introduced herself, a self-proclaimed grandmother and the preacher for the day. And she started working on this passage from the book of Ephesians. It's a text that talks about the body of Christ, and which she and many others interpret as the church, and how it's made up of many different parts. Everyone has a different part to give, to gift to give, and how everyone can give their unique gifts. But somehow, as she began preaching about different people and different people's gifts, rather than feeling part of this bigger whole, I started to feel separated, almost judged, or thinking as I sat there as a visitor in my comfy jeans and my chai, not in my nice jacket and skirt, having just popped in across the street from the Sunday morning coffee temple on my way to worship God in the mountains, I was getting the clear idea from her message that I wasn't really quite accepted as this part of this body of Christ because I wasn't doing it the right way. And I started to notice my spine stiffening as I heard, which is not necessarily what was being preached, but it's what I heard. I'll give the benefit of the doubt there, that rather than being invited into something expansive, it was a lecture on what are the rules of how to be part of church or how to not. That how to follow God or how to not. That there was one way to behave and not another. And that being a person of faith was about following the rules. And doing it because, well, God said so. And probably wearing jeans in church and taking my cup of chai into the sanctuary was one of those no-nos. And even if I was an undercover pastor, I wasn't really part of that church that day. I snuck out during the last hymn, and the pastor's husband, who had been sitting on the row at the end of the pew, made some comment about, have a good day, behave yourself. And it was the final straw for me. And I was able to clinch my righteous indignation about how there was a reason that this church didn't have any young people, and I could pat myself on the back because I was not the pastor of that kind of church. Busted, right? There I was, separating myself from this world communion, from these other people, engaging in the same judgment that I was projecting that they were judging me with, and experiencing that confining space. I'd gotten so caught up in my critique of that church, my wanting to make one way of doing church be right, one way of preaching the scriptures be right, and another wrong, and of course wanting my way to be the right side. As I was driving up the winding roads on that solo pilgrimage to find those glowing aspen trees, I felt my body started to soften a bit and began to find my breath again, and that place of ease and humility, and God started softening my heart. And I thought about our scriptures for this week. I thought about these passages and how much I dreaded preaching on them. And I thought about how often I've heard these passages about divorce preached in that frame of one right way and one wrong way, preached in frames where the church and scriptures and God divide us and separate us and help to make us that sure that we can assure our positions of superiority and righteousness or cover up our places of vulnerability. And I thought about how these texts on gender and marriage and divorce and how much pain they've caused in the world, and how easy it is to hear them, as with anything else, and to use it to divide us, to divorce ourselves from each other and from that broader communion. And so as I drove, I knew that, of course, we would wrestle with these texts here because we're committed to that. But we're committed to wrestling with them and wrestling with them in ourselves. Wrestling with where those places that I am so prone to use whatever it is that I have to judge others and to separate myself from others, to divorce myself from others, and to not be part of that broader communion, that union that we all have from the beginnings of creation with each other, with God, with the planet. And that this is what Jesus is about and is calling us to. That Jesus is not about pouring lemon juice in open wounds of our vulnerability, or he's calling us to look at where are we separating ourselves? Where are we using God and Scripture to reinforce our sense of superiority and rightness of what's wrong, what's right, who's in, who's out? It seems that these Pharisees in our story today that Kia read for us are primarily concerned about this question of who's right and who's wrong, to the point that our text says some Pharisees approached Jesus and as a test, they weren't looking for the humble divine truth. They were trying to test him. As a test, they asked, is it permissible for husbands to divorce wives? And the great temptation of this text is to turn Jesus' teachings into a law, a right-wrong. But such a move runs directly counter to Jesus' underlying theological emphasis. Jesus, in answering these questions, seeks to move beyond a legalistic approach to the question of divorce, that the approach that his adversaries wanted him to take, towards a theological affirmation that God created human beings for each other and as part of an integral whole, that we're meant for each other, we're meant for connection, we're meant for wholeness in our relationships, within ourselves, with our world, with our Creator, and that God's kingdom holds all of it. There actually aren't separations. In the end, we're all part of this bigger whole. That God's kingdom holds the divorced woman with an infant child. It holds a heartbroken man who lost his regular contact with his children. It holds those who are single on purpose, and for those who it's daily heartbreak to be alone. God's kingdom holds those who have been happily married for 50 years and those who just got married last week. God's kingdom holds those who have been together for years and now, just now, finally can legally marry. God's kingdom holds all of that. All of that. And it holds the plants and the animals, the rivers and the streams. God's kingdom is not interested in division or superiority or stroking my ego so that I know that I'm right and I come up on top. God's kingdom is where the last are first and the first are last, where the little children, are the least of these, are brought to Jesus, little children, yes, and taken up in Jesus' lap. And even when much to the chagrin of the disciples wanting to push them away, Jesus says, no, let the little children come to me. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. So here on World Communion Day, we come to the table thinking about that connection, how we are part of this bigger whole across creation, across the world, that as we share the cup, we are humbled and the lines between us blur. The lines between us and them start to disappear. That as we taste that bread, we remember that all people rely on the nourishment and sustenance of food together, and that in that we are all humbled and connected by our shared humanity. And that we can't quite see clearly anymore or be so sure how we are right or wrong or how we're on one side or the other, because we're actually not created to divorce ourselves from the family of God. We're created for that union, for that wholeness, for that connection, to remember that we're all one. And here on the feast of St. Francis Day, we sit outside here in the natural world. I think St. Francis would love the Garden Church, by the way. It'd be right up his alley. Because we're all part of this bigger part of creation. We're not separate from the animals and the plants and the water and the streams and the air. We gather together in the spirit of children, of humanity, of St. Francis. And we remember that we are all one together. I'd like to close by reading a prayer that is attributed to St. Francis, And I would invite you just to quiet your minds and to hear each word and pray it with me in your heart and your body and your being. Let this be our prayer together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.